Reopening schools is going to need a lot more testing. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has released new guidelines for reopening schools. It recommends testing students weekly if they are in high transmission zones where COVID is spreading. Some schools are experimenting with something called pooled testing. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live. Nancy, what is pooled testing?
It's a way of testing a group of people all at once. So swabs are collected from the group, in this case, students, and then run as a single test. We talked with Jason Kelly about this. He's CEO of Ginkgo Bioworks, a COVID testing company. And Kelly says it takes about 10 minutes for a classroom to do the test. And here's how it works.
The teacher doesn't have to do the collection. The students self-collect. That's like a Q-tip right in the front of the nose. We do that K through 12, and the students walk to the front of the room. They put the swab in a big tube. The phrase one of the second graders coined was boogers down into the tube.
Sabri Kelly says you're spreading the cost of testing across up to 25 giggling second graders this way, putting the price at $5 or $6 a test. Now, this testing is still in the early stages, though, so we'll have to see how well it works.
But it sounds like schools have already started using it.
Yeah, Kelly says Massachusetts has been using weekly pool testing for students, teachers, and staff in a pilot program. The idea is these tests could be cheaper and easier for schools. In the new guidelines, the CDC does make schools a priority. It says schools should be the last to close and the first to reopen and should be prioritized over what it calls non-essential businesses and activities.
All right, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
New York Fashion Week has begun. The shows are still mostly virtual. It's been a strange year for fashion. The things we are buying are more about comfort than couture. But with mass vaccination in progress, what comes next? Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
If things go according to plan, sometime this year, life will start getting back to normal, thanks to the vaccines. And Michael Londrigan at the Fashion College LIM says eventually,
the bars will be open, the restaurants will be open, people will be going to weddings with 150-plus people as opposed to small numbers.
And people will buy new clothes to wear to these events and to their offices, if they still have offices. The question is, what will they buy? Because, well, a lot of us have gotten used to this whole elastic waistband, comfortable shoes thing.
We've been doing it now for, you know, close to a year. So I think that there's going to be a continuation of that.
Maybe we'll see dress codes at offices loosen up.
Comfort is here to stay.
Bronwyn Cosgrave is host of the fashion podcast, A Different Tweed.
But if you notice the way people are reacting when they get vaccinated, there is this tremendous sigh of relief.
And she thinks that'll be expressed in clothing, dresses, bright colors, whatever makes people feel like they're celebrating. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
U.S. markets, by the way, are closed for President's Day. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced last week that some large sports arenas could host fans at up to 10% capacity as long as COVID-19 guidelines are followed and fans had negative test results. It's a step towards the city feeling normal, but a few thousand people at Madison Square Garden is still almost empty, especially if you're a company that's paying teams to showcase your brand inside arenas and stadiums to all those fans. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Corporations lay down big money to have their brands shown in arenas and stadiums for things like sporting events and concerts. Peter Latz at sponsorship consultancy IEG says it amounts to about $26 billion a year. And what's been paid for is not all being delivered because of all those empty seats.
What we're currently dealing with right now is about a $14 billion gap that brands and properties have to agree on how to reconcile. And it's not an easy thing to do.
He says teams are trying to make good on their contracts with brands, doing things like putting logos on places they weren't before, so that they'll be seen at least on TV. The New York Islanders hockey team, for instance, now has a couple of stickers, UBS and Northwell Health, on the side of their helmets. But Latz says that only goes so far.
Brands that we work with are saying to us, if we wanted all these make goods, we would have had them in our deal. I want money back, or I want an extra year.
And I want a refund is the last thing the team owners, who were already lacking ticket and concession revenue, want to hear. But Nikki Lewis at the University of Kentucky says sports teams and leagues, and by extension the brands that they partner with, now have an opportunity to rethink the way that they interact with fans.
Engaging with in-person spectators through mobile media, digital media, in-person media, that's all gone. And so you have the screen at home, and we still love to watch our sports on big screens, but you've got to hit them on the mobile media device as well.
And Angeline Close-Scheinbaum, professor of sports marketing at Clemson University, says when people are back in the stands, they can expect teams to continue to hit them up on their cell phones with all sorts of notifications, like,
what are the wait times at this particular concession stand? Or kind of giving them little push alerts as a way to remind them about concessions.
She says that'll be too much for some fans, but the way people watch games is different these days, whether they're at home or in person, and marketers are going to find those opportunities.
Especially when the game itself is kind of at a lull, it becomes an extra marketing and engagement opportunity where you kind of have consumers in a place where they're cognitively and emotionally heightened.
Because that's when they're likely to buy more stuff, whether it's another $12 beer or a $10 hot dog. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.